All right. I am Jack Sonny Meyer. My date of birth is 9/5/35, and I am the chairman of the board of Herman Meyer and Son Funeral Home in Louisville, Kentucky, which is a Jewish funeral home.
Yes. It is the Jewish funeral home, I might add.
Thank you. Yeah, for 120 some odd years.
Yes, I've read a little bit about you. And of course, I worked at Jewish Hospital for many years and I was familiar with you. And I think I might have seen you coming through as a patient.
Probably you did. I have been in traction a couple times at Jewish Hospital and I kind of tore them up one night. But
oh my gosh.
Hey, yeah.
All right, Sonny, I'm going to start with my questions. And the first one is, describe who you were and what your life was like before you realized how serious COVID was.
Well, my number one joy in life is what I do. I enjoy people. I enjoy helping people in their time of need. And my mission in life is to help people. And when the pandemic hit, it kind of threw me for a loop because part of funeral service is basically being involved with people, helping people at time of need. People need people to communicate. I mean, that's the whole grief process, is being able to communicate. And why do we have funeral homes? Or so we can communicate and meet with people. When the pandemic hit, this basically shut us down.
Wow.
Basically, we have had one service in the funeral home since last March. The reason for that is when the governor recommended that the congregations and churches close down, our rabbis and cantors wholeheartedly agreed, and they felt that if they shut their congregations down in the funeral home, they need to protect themselves as well. Out of my 10 rabbis and cantors, I think I have had two come into a funeral home. Everything else has been done mainly at the graveside to protect them, as well as to protect their congregants and the people around them. This was very disturbing, but I understand it because my force and crew had to be protected as well. Sure. If one of us came down, it shut the whole facility down.
Yeah. Well, can you speak to the loss of ritual and the inability to properly say goodbye?
Yes, that is the most. Judaism tells us many things. Judaism tells us basically that our grieving process should last during a 7-day period, basically, with having services twice a day. Therefore, people can meet with people, they can communicate. When you cannot do this in person, it affects their bereavement process as well. What our rabbis have been able to do to help that is we have been Zooming every service at the cemetery and recording it. We started off with Zoom, but then we ran into some problems with Zoom and we switched to Facebook, which has been very successful, because Facebook obviously records everything, and families, I think, like that better.
Yeah.
The only time we've been able to Zoom is when we have out-of-town families, which we have a lot, but we've also found out that it's better not to let them speak. So that's where we're using Facebook to keep the chatter down.
Yeah,
and some comments that were made that were unnecessary. So, you know, one-way conversation is much better I think, in a long run. And then families can go back and see the service completely.
Sonny, what is your take on or your estimate of, has there been a great deal of deaths in the Jewish community?
Last year, we were probably just a little bit over normal. Normally, we run about 90 to 100 funerals a year, and probably we were up 5. And probably those 5 were COVID cases.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our COVID cases have come in from out of town.
Oh, yeah?
They have come in from out of town and not local. I think it's what our rabbis have informed our congregants of safety and security. And I don't mean to single any particular group out, but I think that the Jewish people have been a little bit more cautious.
Yeah.
And wearing masks and realize, you know, and listening to somebody, not being the individual. I've only had one person that I know of who didn't believe this COVID thing completely. And his brother died of COVID.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, there's non-believers out there.
Yeah.
And we just have to live with those non-believers.
Yeah.
But as a whole, in my local group, I don't know of anybody who has had COVID whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I have a pretty large group.
Yeah. Well, it speaks to the level of education, because a lot of the deniers tend to be people that are less educated. Not all, but that sort of is a mark, I think, of, you know, whether you accept science or you reject it. Have you talked to anybody else in the funeral directors community locally to know what they're going through?
Well, I have talked not only through locally, but my Jewish co-partners throughout the United States. And basically, my Florida partners have now opened up funeral homes for visitation and for funerals. New York has not. Most of the communities have not.
Yeah.
There is a group, if you were reading the book, you probably read about the Kefir Kadisha.
Yes.
Which is the washing and dressing. And basically there is a lead group, and basically they discourage traditional things because you had to be secure yourself. And as I said earlier, if one of us got it, we were completely shut down completely. So we have followed their guidelines. The rabbis have agreed with us. And we have basically, we are still doing our traditional work, but in a lesser amount than we always have in the past.
Yeah.
To protect our Kefir Kadisha.
Yeah. But I mean, anybody that's died has been subjected to these restricted conditions, which are certainly understandably there. But how hard is that to accept for, you know, somebody of any age to be able to say goodbye to their loved one, to know that the washing is not the same as usual, that you can't have people at the visitation, it's more virtual. I mean, that has to be heartbreaking for some people.
Unfortunately, 2 years ago, we lost a daughter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Had it been in today's times, we would have been totally devastated. You know, we reconciled to the point that what happened to her was her blessing for what she had.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least we went through the grief process, not being able to go through the grief and not having people around you.
Oh, yes.
Have to be devastated completely, you know, just devastating completely.
What is your feeling about some of these funeral homes nationwide that have just had cases stacked and stacked and stacked, And I mean, how do you do that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We belong to a special group called Selected Funeral Homes, which is by invitation. And of course, we've seen notices go out from selected members out in California, where they are so totally exhausted that now we are bringing in crews, selected members, to give them some relief.
Yeah.
I've seen visitations handled in a wonderful way. We had a visitation in Owensboro, and I'll say it, and then my hat out to Glenn Funeral Home in Owensboro, where they had their facility set up so they could have a visitation and keep people separated.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of funeral homes. The one across the street from me checks temperatures, they walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest problem we have found with visitation, people are still hugging and kissing.
Yeah.
And not keeping their distance. And this just bothers us to no end completely.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It is scary. It's scary because once they're together, how can you stop it?
Exactly. I mean, you just can't stop it whatsoever. I mean, we have roped off in our chapel seating so people would be their distance, but they get up and stand and hug.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is natural. I mean, you know, this is a time of grief. People need people. But unfortunately, in these times, it's very difficult to keep people from hugging each other.
Especially when you know that they'll never get over this, right? That you're missing those steps that are so vital in this ritual of death. It's so important to everybody, but especially for Jews that are, especially I think people that are maybe more Orthodox that really do want everything done, and yet you can't do it.
Yeah, you know, with the graveside, we have been basically able to do everything. We're still shoveling the dirt. We're still going through the rituals at the cemetery. And at least we're involved with some of the process completely. I think the process afterwards of the Shiva, that's the heartbreaking part.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, that's how we work through our grief process, is communicating. And right now we can't communicate in person, and the person is holding it up within themselves, and it will come out. I mean, we know what it says about grief and how it affects people in the long run.
Yeah.
I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg right now.
Well, and of course, just the steps of the ritual are so comforting.
Right. You know, my hat goes off to my Kevakadisha and my people and my staff at the office.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever thought that we would do a good percentage of our funeral arrangements online?
Yeah.
You're not even face to face.
Yeah.
And I've had two families this year that have lost mother and father within,
oh my goodness,
20 days apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to get over one grief process and then have another. I mean, I've got one any day right now. And the only way you can make arrangements is virtual.
Yeah.
And being able to do everything, and it concerns us so much because we want to be perfect.
Yes.
We want to shine, you know, in everything that we do, and trying to do everything and assuming things.
Yeah.
Our email and our texting is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just staying up with families and following where we normally would follow through and visit with families after a funeral arrangement and funeral service, we can't do that.
Yeah.
We're still going and dropping off things to the house, but we're not having the personal contact that is so necessary.
Yeah. Well, even though it certainly doesn't replace the in-person touch that you've been able to give, I mean, thank goodness we do have Zoom and Facebook. At least people have something.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a technology that just, thank God we did have it, because, I mean, if you had nothing, no remembrance.
I go back and just wonder and think about the Spanish flu of 1918. Yeah. And unfortunately, we don't have any written real information on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, how did the Jewish people handle the situation? And I'd somewhere along the line, there has to be some statistics on what happened afterwards, because, you know, this, it's the same thing 150, 105 years later.
Yeah. Well, there are some differences in that. Sad for the Spanish flu is young people were the ones that were dying, whereas in our flu, the greater percentage is, you know, above 60 or 70, largely because in that flu epidemic back then, there were older people that had some sorts of immunity, probably from earlier serious flu, not nearly as bad as that. And so it didn't take them. They were spared. But these young soldiers coming home and their wives and their sweethearts, those are the ones that, I mean, the prime got knocked out. And of course, we didn't have antibiotics and respirators and intensive care units then. But it is just sad, you know, that it's just a sad journey to have to take for humanity to go through something like this, I think. So how nowadays you've pretty well developed, you know, what you think that you can do, maybe as the vaccines come forward, you begin to step back into some degree of normalcy, do you think?
I hope so. This week we've talked with two rabbis. One is willing to come in and do a service in the funeral home with 10 people or less.
Mm-hmm.
What concerns me the most, and I go back to the ultra-Orthodox that has to have 10 people, 10 men twice a day.
Yes.
They've done everything, setting up a tent and doing it outdoors, which was fine as long as the weather was decent.
Yeah.
But inclement weather now, you know, it's starting to, in fact, the ultra-Orthodox rabbi came down with COVID.
Oh, my God.
Rabbi Litvin.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry to hear that.
And he was in the hospital for a while. But that's the only one of the rabbis that I know of. And he is one that's willing to come back in now. And one of my Reform rabbis as well. But my conservative rabbis, no.
No.
And there's a reason for that, is because he has a son who's a doctor.
Well, there you go.
and his son is on his case to be very, very careful.
Well, it's good for our Jewish community, because back east, in terms of some of the Orthodox Jewish communities, it's sort of been kind of super spreader things. I mean, it's they've you know, had a bad time.
I mean, we saw that ultra Orthodox group in New York having a gathering with that mask on. You know, it's scary. I mean, how do you explain it? You can't.
Well, one way is to say they're not thinking of science. They've separated it from science, really. And that's right. That's sad at this point in time. Sonny, do you know, how do you feel about the politics of this situation? Do you think that they have politicized the pandemic in any way?
Are you talking about federally or statewide?
Well, I mean, we could talk about all three levels, but that the pandemic has gotten such a political aspect to it that it's like, if you wear a mask, you're taking one side versus the other. You know, it's just, it's heavy. And do you think, for example, that for the pandemic cost Donald Trump the election?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I'm a friend, and I do happen to be a Republican, and I admit it, that basically I think it was handled wrong. Mm-hmm. Federally, I think definitely, and I think as much as I don't want to say it right now, I think Indiana is outperforming Kentucky in the vaccine, having gone there yesterday and being able to get in and out within 20 minutes and being able to get on, where I think Kentucky, my first choice was like February the 27th. Mm-hmm. And almost by then, I'll be ready to have my second shot.
Good for you. But I will tell you, Indiana's numbers are way ahead of ours. I mean, they may be doing well in the vaccine part, but in the part of basically keeping people safe, not so much.
Not so much, right. But, you know, I give them credit for the vaccine part of it. You know, Indiana is, 2 million more than Kentucky in population. But look at their death rate compared to Kentucky. I think Governor Beshear has done an outstanding, and basically he has saved a lot of lives. And this impeachment thing is just totally ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of jarring, you know, just four people have to make a, you know, request for impeachment, and somebody's, you know, up for impeachment. You would think it would take a lot more people than just four.
That's right. I mean, it's ludicrous completely.
Yeah.
It's a waste. As Janet is on the television watching the impeachment right now, and it's ridiculous. There's so much more that Congress needs to do and get this PPP bill passed and sitting there listening to this. I mean, it's just splitting our country apart completely.
I think that they're, though, if they think they can, if they can convict him, that they can pass that other thing that keeps him from running again.
Well.
So we'll see how it works out. They don't have the votes, obviously.
Right. That will never happen. His chances are running again. You know, if he was defeated once in this past election, I just question him running again and getting votes completely.
I don't know, Sonny. The doubters. If you go out in the state and talk to people like I have, boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that don't believe in the results of the election, and they follow him really almost blindly.
Right. I've got some good friends who have a winery over in Indiana, who definitely don't believe it. You know, just can't believe that he lost the election. And numbers show. I mean. But that's another subject completely.
That's right. Well, I mean, we got on that by saying that part of the problem was that was politicized, and that it really got so bad that I think there were many people that, we know there were a lot of ticket splitters because Congress actually stayed pretty much the same, but right. A lot of people split their ticket very purposefully to vote against him.
Mine was like a checkerboard.
Well, you know, Sonny, that's probably how it should be, that you go from office to office, giving it your due diligence.
That's right. I mean, you vote for the person. And, you know, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Of course, after some of the electors that I've seen, I question how they were ever elected as well.
Well, we won't even get into the Electoral College. That's a subject for another day.
Exactly.
Sonny, can you tell me anything good that has happened to you as a result of the pandemic?
Anything good?
Yes.
Yes and no. I have a granddaughter from the daughter that died who started college.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she was very concerned about going away to college. And it's almost to the point where her father insisted on it, although it's been virtual last semester. This was a average student who now through college has realized she went to collegiate. all the way through collegiate. And uh-huh. she turned around to us the other day and said, I just didn't do enough in collegiate. And now she's holding a 3.5
out of her.
A 4. You know, out of a 4, she finally has realized that's something good.
Where did she end up going to college?
She's in Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida.
Wow.
Places that, you know, we should have thought about going to college. I mean, we weren't smart enough to get out of this nasty weather.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. I mean, you know, to go to college. And I guess she learned it from her mother, because her mother went to University of Arizona.
Oh.
And she wore tank tops and cutoffs through four years. And that's what my granddaughter's doing, exactly the same, except in a different state.
Yeah, yeah.
I would go. And Janet just walked in. Janet, I'm going to ask her your question. Have you seen anything good come out of the pandemic for us, other than Emily?
You mean business-wise or personal?
Personal.
More time together, is that?
Well, there you go. There you go.
That would be good or bad.
I've had so many couples tell me that, and they've had mixed emotions.
Exactly.
I mean, where else have we been able to go between here, home, and the office? As much as we love to eat out,
we
haven't been able to eat out. We haven't been able to be with our friends that we miss dearly.
I've done a lot of baking and cooking.
Oh, Lord, tell me about it.
Yeah, that gets really old fast.
I mean, the stores get practically sold out of yeast now.
It's true. Yeah, honest to God, my biggest event in life is going to the grocery. And I never used to like that at all. Now I love it.
What else can you? And she's a shopper. So that's what she, I mean, the downfall is what she dislikes the most about it is she hadn't been able to go shopping. I mean, she has burned up Amazon.
Yeah, really. I am too, really.
Yeah.
Well, Sonny, what about the racial unrest? I mean, you've been around Louisville, you know kind of what's going on downtown. I live close to downtown, and to me.
I grew up right in your area.
Yeah.
You're in old Louisville, right?
Yes, I am, Sonny.
I grew up at 3rd and Galbert.
Know exactly where it is. I'm on Park Avenue, right by Central Park.
Sure. I played that area for years, and then later on, I lived in the Adams house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. when I was single.
So what do you think about the racial unrest? I know that, you know, it isn't directly caused by the pandemic, but has the pandemic had an effect on it, do you think?
I don't think so. You know, the Breonna Taylor case, I think, was handled wrong.
Yeah.
And it happened to be through the pandemic, and I'm sure with the marching and the things that went on, it spread the virus.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've lived through three of these unrest. I've got a brother-in-law who had a pharmacy down in the West End when racial violence happened, in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I think today anything can spark a controversy at any moment, because people are so unhappy with each other.
Yeah.
And they're so split. You know, the gun violence in this city, who ever thought that Sonny Meyer would carry a gun in his pocket everywhere he goes?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I have, since I was on the State Board of Embalmers and Funeral Directors, and we travel, I started doing it because it was a necessity when you get over in certain parts of Eastern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But
I bet you've seen a lot.
I mean, It's even still today, Eastern Kentucky is still anti-government completely. And I guarantee you when we hit the first community, everybody else, the rest of Eastern Kentucky knew we were coming to inspect.
Yeah.
And, but that unrest, you know, I don't think it's necessarily racial. I think it's just a total unrest with people not liking each other. I mean, hey, love your brother.
Yeah.
Treat him well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very fortunate that I can smile when I get up in the morning and say, thank God I got another day. At 86 years of age, I put my blessings on everybody else.
Yeah.
As healthy as I am today.
Yeah. Well, you look in good shape, Sonny. I will say when people talk about the pandemic right now in relation to racial unrest, it's more not a cause thing, but a catalyst thing, that when people are out of a job or their schools have closed down or whatever, and they're sitting around watching George Floyd's death in a loop, and they think they're about to lose their house, or, you know, they don't have enough food to feed their children, that people are more likely to hit the streets and be, you know, very, very unhappy.
Oh, I agree. Having served in Jefferson County Coroner's office.
Yeah.
I saw Saturday night, summertime Saturday nights, where they're out on the street, and the same exact thing, the violence happened, because all of a sudden somebody said boo to somebody else and he had a drink in his hand.
Yeah.
And it started then. And I think anytime that there's problems, people are going to extend those problems and cause problems. I mean, guns are a problem, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
But if you got those huge weapons of mass destruction, you can sure kill a lot of people. That's the problem.
That's exactly right. We have a friend of ours, dear friend of ours in Florida, who only lives a few blocks away on that violence completely. I mean, it was like in her back door.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, we've seen it firsthand completely.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the pandemic.
Yes. 50 to 100 years from now, Sonny.
Yeah.
When historians study this watershed period, what do you think their analysis would be? And I recognize that we're going through phase. I mean, we had this phase going up to the end of the year, I would say, when the Trump administration had its problem, let's say. And now we've got vaccines and we're facing a difficulty with making sure they're given. So that's going to be a different part of the pandemic. And once we get to the end of and when everybody's vaccinated, you know, that's a different stage too. So, you know, again, we're going through stages. And when these historians are studying, what do you think they'll say up till now in terms of how things have gone?
I think that they were, you know, question a lot of things could have been done better.
Mm-hmm.
And that we still have a long way to go. And I was reading an article today that we may have to take a booster shot.
Yeah.
Every year now, you know, I go and get my flu virus. Now I'm going to have to get a pandemic booster as well.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know at this stage. And all of these drugs are experimental drugs.
Yeah. Well, they're giving out that AstraZeneca vaccine in South Africa, and then they find out, hey, it doesn't really work for the South African strain.
That's right.
Scary.
It is so tough, you know, and impress these laboratories impress me as well.
Yeah.
I mean, how they came up with a vaccine in 9 months.
That's right.
Is astronomical. And then what last night I read, where it takes 11 months to make a batch, and now they're cutting it down to 6 months. I mean, these are brilliant, brilliant people. And
well, again, that's one good thing about the pandemic, that it's brought, it's going to bring a lot more resources and money into that vaccine research, because it really wasn't a big paying area of medicine to be involved with in regard to investments and that sort of thing. But now it is.
You know, it takes something like this to shake people up.
Indeed.
My back to my daughter, she had a disease that basically destroys the white matter in her brain.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had her at Mayo's and Johns Hopkins, and both of them said, we only see about 8 or 9 of these cases a year.
Oh, my.
So they haven't done any studies on it. What's
wrong? It's like an orphan syndrome. You know, there's not enough people with it.
That's right. At least I think the good part is we're going to see much more research out of it. And that, I think that's probably the good part that comes out of it, is for our future generations.
Yes, exactly. Well, Sonny, in terms of, I know you know plenty of people that live alone as I do. For some of these people that live alone or in assisted living or those sorts of things, and they've missed out on lack of physical touch and contact. I mean, people that don't get handshakes and hugs and pats on the back anymore, especially people who are in nursing homes and can't see their families. It's taken a big toll, hasn't it?
It really has. Janet was telling me, I have a niece who is a nurse in a nursing home in Connecticut. And she was talking to us, and fortunately she has been safe, but she told Janet last night that 50% of her residents have COVID.
Oh my Lord.
And wasn't it 50% that Melissa said last night?
Yes, in her nursing home,
yes.
Wow.
Well,
yeah, and how many, I mean, I feel these people cannot see their, you know, they cannot touch, feel, and the only contact they have is either virtual or with the nurses around them.
Yeah.
John, who's with me, has his significant other is a nurse at one of the facilities in town.
Mm-hmm.
And she is so disturbed. In fact, I think she turned in a resignation yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Because the way that it's being handled, you know, and people not being able to be people, see people, and at least communicate as well.
Yeah. One of the nurses in a nursing home that I interviewed said that, yes, she was concerned and troubled by the COVID patients, but she said, Peggy, really, I'm more concerned by the people who were in fairly good shape, that maybe they were there because of a spouse, and because no contact and just being locked in their rooms practically, that they have gone downhill so rapidly.
Well, I understand. I mean, like I said earlier, if I didn't have the office, if I had to stay home, I'd go out of my treetop completely. And you know, I can only watch so many movies and sporting events. I think I got calluses on my rear end from sitting. So long. That's right. At least I've controlled my weight.
Yeah.
You know, and I just wonder with this pandemic as well and people staying home and cooking, how many more obese people, you know, that we're going to, you know, and with obesity comes diabetes and heart trouble. And, you know, I think that basically we have a very unusual death rate. We will have four down years and an up year. Because our numbers are a little bit down, and then the fifth year, which was last year, will be up. But with the people, the way they're eating and not taking care of themselves, I think we will still see the death rate go up again.
I agree. It's just sad because it is what people do to occupy themselves. It is immediate gratification. But I'll tell you, when you can't really get out and exercise like you did before, it's just, and you're sitting with your refrigerator at your fingertips practically. It is
difficult.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, at least, you know, I get the off and walk the steps a few times. Yeah. And yesterday we had a heating problem. I walked the steps at home a few times. But
just to keep the blood flowing, huh?
That's right, just to get the blood flowing complete, and also getting the vaccine flowing body.
All right.
I think, you know, and that is something that I think hasn't been said that should be, that people, when they get the vaccine, they should do a little bit more exercising to at least move that vaccine through their body.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, give me some water, sweetheart.
I will say the second shot's a bit of a doozy, so make sure you got some time off that day.
All right, I understand there's a 28% shot of it affecting you and putting you down for a day is on the second shot.
Even Fauci said it took him 36 hours to feel better, but it's worth it.
Yeah, now Janet came home today. She was exhausted.
Yeah, tired. Yeah.
So she was very tired. Me, other than having a sore arm, nothing.
Well, that's good. That's fantastic. Well, my last question is actually, once we pass this acute phase, and maybe when everybody's had the vaccine and we have achieved herd immunity, Sonny, what do you think the new normal will be?
The new normal will never be the old normal, that's for sure.
I think there's going to be a lot of parties.
but with mask, and I still think that there will be the distance. I want to go out and eat, but I think the distance is going to be there. And the new normal, like I said, isn't ever going to be the old normal completely.
You're going to be quick to shake people's hands and pat and hug and that sort of thing.
A lot of people still work from home.
Yeah, I think we'll still see that. A lot of people still.
They're talking about everybody clearing out of Manhattan.
That's right. I mean, we've got family here that came in from Manhattan because they can work from home.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, and if home was a six-floor walk-up, you'd rather be in Louisville.
Right. I mean, what's going to happen with all these office buildings?
Oh, yeah.
You know, these people aren't going to go back. I mean, the Humana building is a perfect example.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, the people that, you know, that were in there and the rest, you know, and all the things that affect around the restaurants, everything affects it completely.
Yeah.
The new norm is yet to be seen yet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I have a daughter in Florida, in Georgia, who got her second shot yesterday. And she wants us to come. And we said, no way till we get the second shot.
And wait a few weeks after that.
That's even. Right.
Yeah.
But then we have Passover. So,
yeah.
So, you know, we're normally gone this time of year.
Yeah.
We're normally
it's a year like none other, Sonny.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, I've got the greatest crew at the office. I can walk away, but not this year.
Yeah.
And as I said, all five of us have to be very cautious.
Yeah.
And one of them doesn't believe in the shot.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. He honestly believes he's immune to it, having been around as much of it as he has, and his significant other being a nurse. He feels he's part of that herd.
Well, he could go get that found out right now by going and tested for COVID antibodies. He would know. He could have some, but he needs to have a test for it to certify it, really.
I agree. Yeah.
Sonny, that's all my questions. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Yes, Peggy. I cannot thank you enough for doing this because I have done a history of the Jewish community from 1760 up until now. And if we don't do these things and archive them, they're lost forever.
You're right. You're right. And it's been my privilege.
I'm very thankful. Where were you in Jewish? What department?
ICU, all the time I was there.
Oh, I see you.
Open Heart Recovery, those places. I see you. That's I loved it. That's where I got to know Dr. Weiss so well.
Okay. Oh, he's a sweetheart.
He is indeed.
Isn't he a sweetheart from childhood?
Yeah. I just love Dr. Light too. His partner. Yeah.
I didn't know Leonard as well as and Besson, who's in that office, is my son-in-law, who's a physician.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Dr. Renko.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's part of the Celebrity group.
Yes, Angelo, I remember him well. if you know anybody that you think would be a good interview, would you let me know?
Peggy, I sure will. I'm trying
just think about it. You don't have to tell me now. You got my information. Really put the word out, because those stories are important. And like you say, if we don't take them down, they're gone.
Yeah, I'll tell you who I think would be a good person.
Okay.
And I will count is Dr. Larry Goldberg.
Larry Goldberg, okay. He was a thoracic physician, right?
That's exactly right.
Yes, I remember him well. I remember him when he was at the Lanson Group in his residency.
Right.
Tell him I'd love to interview him. And really, I know all this new Zoom and Facebook is like a challenge, but you know what? These interviews are beautiful.
Great. I think Larry would be a great resource. I mean, Larry now works for Humana.
Mm-hmm.
But you know him, and I think it'd be a great contact completely.
I would love to interview him. If you want to just get his, say if he wants to do it and give me his contact information, if that's okay with him, and then I'll contact him.
All right. Let me talk to Larry.
Definitely. Talk to him and see what he says.
Right. I think.
And keep thinking of other people too, because I really do want to interview as many people as I can. And I just think these are wonderful stories. I mean, this has been a wonderful, wonderful interview, Sonny. I'm so grateful.
And I thank you for calling me.
Well, I thank Dr. Weiss for helping me call you. And I do want to keep your book for a little while longer. So I'm about a third of the way through right now.
Right. Interesting book, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean,
all the questions you always wanted to ask, but you didn't know where to find them.
You know, Sonny, though, my son-in-law's Turkish, and it's a small Turkish community here, and they actually wash the bodies themselves and prepare them for burial. And there were a lot of commonalities with, you know, saying you can't, you have to stay with the person. And it was really interesting for me to, as much as I know about the Turks and their rituals, to compare your beautiful rituals.
I mean, you know, it's for, thank God we've had our group who've set up at nighttime. They've been very cautious.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've been good people.
Yes.
They deserve a seat in heaven.
Thank you.
And you too.
Thank you. You too. We'll be there together. Right. All right. Well, thank you. You have a good night, and go eat some of Janet's good cooking.
All righty. I got leftovers that I did the other night.
I'm sure they're beautiful. Thank you so much, Sonny. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.